right and the left. That's correct, you are.
Because you're living on a line. It's a linear expansion in this direction and the other one. It has infinite length but infinitesimal girth. Timeline Earth, only one dimension for you to meet your friends.
It's done. I did it. So there's no dare. Dare's off the table.
All right.
I've done it.
Okay.
I've done it. What happens when you do the dare? See, I never understood that. What happens after you do the dare? Are you rewarded or is...
No, I think you just move on.
So it's an ego thing. It's
like, yeah,
I bet
entirely.
You won't do that. Mm-hmm. And then you do it and then you go, see?
Yep. And then we just talk about whatever we're going to talk about.
Tough. It's very tough. Yeah, it's very
tough.
Yeah.
It's good.
Okay, good.
So
I got a lot of stuff here.
You've been a busy little bee.
I've been on several shows. Actually, that's a segue into the first thing that I want to discuss with you. Rollo.
Yep.
I went on his show, their show recently, Rollo and Slappy. I like to call it the Slappy and Rollo show, as you know.
Yes.
I think you do that too. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so Rollo, I went on the me and Rollo show, and I was there, and we got to talking. And near the end of the conversation, he had mentioned to me Sphinx Chat.
Yes.
And he said that his Sphinx Chat had more people in it than our Sphinx Chat. And I had to quell the smashing rage that
the
I felt.
Rage.
Almost like a gorilla-like anger that I felt when I heard that to smash my keyboard. It really bothered me. So I wanted to talk about whatever Sphinx Chat is, because you brought it up and you thought it seemed to be very cool. And when you think that, usually I also think that. So we got to get to that. But also, before we do that, and I'll lead us back to that place, I also have been thinking about this for a long time. Oh, this is weird. I just realized their show releases before ours, but we record on Wednesday. Listen, time's a line, guys. So I was thinking about challenging him to a boxing match at Childeberg.
Okay.
In order to get that frustration out, the rage out. And so I challenged him. And then I thought about it. And I had, there's a few problems that I'm running up against immediately. And they are, I can't match his weight. He weighs 140 pounds. He's like a spider monkey. So I'll never get down that low. And the second problem is, if he has to meet me, he has to put on a minimum of 40 pounds. And if you've ever seen Rollo before, which you have, and some of our listeners have, he has maybe Guinness World Record arms. He's got the longest...
he's rangy.
Wiry.
Wiry. Yeah.
Yeah, he's... really a long reach. And so if he was going to add 40 or so pounds to those mitts, I would be devastating. So there's, I won't take it on that end. And then I also thought it's going to be a white boy summer. And so I feel like we shouldn't be boxing one another during an event like that. I feel like we should be coming together and doing arts and crafts and stuff. So I'm still thinking about officially challenging him to a boxing match, but I'm not sure. Because there's a lot of threat.
I do agree with your assessment of the white boy summer and keeping it peaceful. Just for the thought experiment, I'm trying to run through the motions. Now, as many of the listeners know, I've never actually met you. Now, so I have met Rollo. I've sized up Rollo, I would say.
right.
And so, but
which is
but
probably
I don't,
the first thing you did when you met Rollo,
of
right?
Course.
You sized him up. Yeah, that's what I would be doing. Yeah.
Just in case there were any future boxing matches. So my general assessment was, Rollo is wiry. He is wiry. But
extension.
he is below my size and weight class. So I think in terms of boxing, this would have to be, I would not be in the running for boxing Rollo.
I think you are naturally probably closer to my weight, but Rollo's height, and so you're larger. So I don't think that would.
If I'm not mistaken, massive. I think I don't think Rollo's super tall. I think I'm quite Rallo a bit taller than him, too.
Is 5'9", perhaps?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe 10. Which is still
that's probably
3 to 4 inches taller than me, depending on what time of the day it is.
Right. That's true. Yeah, he does fall in between us. Yeah. 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 That's a tough one. You can throw some weight around. What are you weighing?
What
these
you're
days?
Saying is, what am I weighing these days? Right now I'm at 195 is the last time I checked. So I put 10 pounds back on from where I lost. I'm looking good, I'm feeling good, but there's no way that he could get up to me without becoming a devastating ham machine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's probably true.
It's not,
I mean, shit, yeah.
Really bad. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so
I
what
mean,
is Aaron? Does that make Aaron, because we know Aaron is taller, and he also looks at least your size, right? So does that make Aaron physically larger than him? Is that the hierarchy here?
Yeah, I think Aaron's slightly bigger than I am. I think Aaron said he's 6'1". I'm 6 foot. And then I think Aaron said he's... I think Aaron's up around 200, and I'm at a...
Yeah, he drinks probably a lot of milk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm like 175.
When you look at Aaron, that guy drinks a lot of milk. A lot.
So I think that is the hierarchy. Aaron is the...
lot of milk.
The big boy.
Yeah, he's big. Back to Rallo. I've tried to size him up on numerous occasions. I may or may not have seen Rallo without him knowing that I saw him, so I may or may not have a view of Rallo from an angle that if I was to attack from that angle, I think I could probably take him down. But again, I think the violence and it's not necessary for this time of the year.
Not this summer,
not
anyway.
Not for this time of the year. Maybe winter. Maybe there could be a winter smash fest or something like that.
September 23rd.
Yeah. It's weird to think about it, man. But it's, if he got 40 pounds heavier, he would become a destructive machine. If I got 40 pounds lighter, I would be an emaciated squirrel.
I don't think Rallo has the frame to put on 40 pounds. I don't think his body would do that.
Where do you think it would distribute?
I don't know. I just don't think he could do it.
I bet you like shoulders.
He just doesn't.
Powerful
like,
shoulders.
I just don't think his friend, he doesn't have, he doesn't, he told me that he had to work out like pretty vigorously to keep weight off one time, if I'm remembering correctly.
Really?
He's naturally
bigger.
That shocked me though, because it doesn't appear that his frame, he just doesn't look built like that, but you know,
really?
I don't know. Maybe we'll
scaring me.
There's a lot of variables here. There's a lot of unknowns.
What I think I'm going to do is, I'm going to convince Rallo to participate in a contest of physical skills so that I can watch him and observe his physical capacities. And he can watch me and observe mine, but he's not going to be doing it with the intent to challenge for a fight later on. So I'm going to probably, maybe at Childeberg, I'll be like, hey, Rallo, come, I got a shot put. Let's go and do some field work. Yeah. Yeah, let's see.
Not a bad idea.
I believe he could probably put a shot put 47 feet, standard shot put. He could probably get it done. I would like to see it. And that means he has a lot of power. But anyway, so this is just what's been going on in my head. Just
bubbling around in there.
Yeah. Just to establish, I'm glad we had the hierarchy. We established the hierarchy. I know I can't move up in it. And I don't want to move down in it. So I feel comfortable in my position where I am. And so I'm just to let you know, it's on the back burner. Me, Rallo, and I will have a boxing match, but it's on the back burner for now, at least. That's what I think. So
that's where it should be.
But again, this all was brought up because of my deep-seated rage at his
fury,
at his prodding over, first of all, he tried to convince me praxeology was real. And you know how I feel about when people try to tell me things are real. I get very triggered. It upsets me. Mm-hmm. So that bothered me. And then secondarily, he told me that the Sphinx chat, his is doing better. And so I wanted to ask you, because I couldn't bear to ask him without, you know, slurs start to come out. Anger, real hatred. My breath heats up. I get really upset. Very angry.
Red.
So you can hear it right now, in fact. So I'm going to step back and I'm going to ask you, Karkampet. We talked about it a little bit. What is the Sphinx chat? Why is his doing better? And other things like that.
Sphinx chat is an incredibly interesting new kind of like service that runs on Lightning Network that has a lot of implications that are pretty profound. I'll start by saying that it is beta software. It is incredibly buggy. And being that I have an Android and not an iPhone, I believe that is the source of my frustration, where I was able to log in one time, create our Sphinx Chat tribe, which is Timeline Earth, which you can find by going, I think, tribes.sphinx.chat. You can just go join it. But I have since lost the ability to get into Sphinx Chat. I can host the service on my Lightning node, but I cannot get in via the app, which is very irritating.
This is not surprising, though, unfortunately.
No, it's very, very like early
part
software.
Part of our modus operandi.
Yeah. So I'm basically, I haven't fiddled much around with it.
We're fighting
actually,
with one hand tied behind our back to begin with already.
I see that they actually released a new APK April 4th. First, so it's possible that they've updated the app, so I may need to fiddle about with it. Regardless, all the infrastructure is there, and I run it on my Lightning node, so it's there. I'm just kind of waiting for an update on the app to get back and get more active. But let me give you a quick rundown of what could be possible on here, because I think it's really, really cool. This is basically a very, very private messaging and group messaging service. So you could think of the Sphinx Chat tribe, like kind of like creating a Telegram group or something like that. But what it does is you can either, for a very, very cheap fee, rent someone else's Lightning node. I think they charge you like $3 a month or something like that. Or just run it on your own for free, which is what I do. And you can set the rules for your tribe. I haven't messed around with it. So I think the standard rule is that in order to join the tribe, you put at stake 10 sats. And then if you get kicked out of the thing,
it's
scamming
Lightning network.
Yeah.
Oh,
dude, it's okay. Crazy. So yep. if the host like me, kicks you out because you're scamming or like being an asshole or whatever, then you lose that 10 sats. So, and that could be whatever. It could be any number. It's just that keep in mind, the numbers aren't important. The concept is more important. Everybody in there can talk. It's literally chatting between Lightning nodes. So it's beyond private. Like, as far as I can tell, it is private, private, private. Like, you're downloading an app, I suppose, but you're not running this through anybody else's infrastructure. It's all through Sphinx over Tor. It's pretty wild. It also allows you to, so we could actually host our podcast I guess it would go through the same RSS feed, but we could set it such that in order to listen to it, we could charge a per minute like sat rate. So for instance, we could charge 10 sats per minute, and that would just be any minute that people are listening to. You would have to stream 10 sats or 20 sats or one sat or whatever it is over the Lightning network to us in order to listen to it. So what's kind of way down the roadmap here is an interesting they're calling it like the value for value model, where people are just streaming sats to listen to you. There's no third party service that could get shut down like Patreon. There's no ads that we necessarily would need to run. There's no anything. And then because RSS feeds can be self-hosted, you're looking at creating content that's literally censorship proof, as far as I can tell, and rewards content creators and is a much more palatable model for the listeners, because they're not dealing with they don't have to sign up for Patreon. They don't have to deal with any BS or listen to ads or anything like that. It's just pure value for value. And then there are some other things that you can do with that. So I'm still reading about it. And again, it's still beta software. I mean, I'm sure in a month it'll be fine, but like it's super, like the possibilities here are incredible. Not only that, but there's direct messaging. Like if I could just message you over that, and it would just be incredibly private. We're not sending it
so
through.
So we can finally
Signal.
Use this to talk about all of our dirty things.
Yeah, the dirty stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
So anyway, Rollo probably created the group and probably just has a bunch of losers in it, and so you don't need to worry about that right now.
Unless they're people who want to come over to our group, in which case they will stop being losers when they do that. In fact,
yes,
they'll be very cool when they join our group,
and they'll be rewarded somehow.
With our presence, and vice versa, ours, theirs.
Right? Yes. Value for value.
That's good. That's right. So good. I want to dominate the competition. We have to be on top. We deserve to be on top. We've suffered enough. We've suffered for our art and our craft. And I think it's time. So, yeah. Yeah. That's where I'm going with it.
Wrap that up. Yeah.
Wrapped up. Carr, you've never spoken Spanish on the show, and there's a good reason for that.
Mm-hmm.
You would, if you were to speak Spanish on the show, you probably would have a relatively difficult time with it. And mm-hmm. so, as a thinking, sensible person, you don't do things that you're incapable of doing. Which brings mm-hmm. me to the clip that I'm about to play for our listeners.
So say it with me. Si se puede. The future is ours. Thank you.
Yeah.
Si se puede.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's a real cringe fest, Carr.
What
it's,
do you, like, what?
It's disgusting. It's really
I can't
odd.
Even really keep up with it mm-hmm. anymore. See, here's the interesting thing about the Bidens is it's not just Joe Biden. Now he's bringing his wife into the fold and his dogs. Mm-hmm. And so now there's so many just different actors bumbling around doing weird shit. It's very difficult to keep up with.
Yes. And if I'm not mistaken, okay. I was going to say, I'm pretty sure that incident happened on April 1st. It did not. It happened on March 31st. And the video got started going around on April 1st. Yeah. So she got pranked on her own. There were a couple of strange things about the video. I recommend everybody go look up the video, specifically the New York Post post about it. Jill Biden butchers Spanish pronunciation during speech to California farmers. Because as I said last time, the New York Post is the only news source that I read, the most reliable news source. And so a couple of strange things about the video. If you'll look up the video, Carr, as she's messing up, and I literally can't even remember what the actual Spanish is. I only remember si se puedes. Mm-hmm. As she's messing up si se puedes, you can see in the background an odd symbol. And this odd symbol was brought up to me by the elf, who was like looking at it and going, what is that? That flag behind her.
No.
And for those who don't know, I mean, it is actually just a flag for a labor union, which is why it has all those particular colors, because probably relation to communism, I don't know. But it looks a whole lot like the flag of the Third Reich. And Jill Biden's speaking fake Spanish in front of a flag that looks like it's from the Third Reich is a really... Everybody kind of needs to take it from that perspective and appreciate
surreal.
It.
Surreal. Just surreal look.
Really bizarre. And that was not the only bizarre thing that Miss Jill Biden did recently. In fact, she was out for an Easter dinner on the 4th, 2 days ago, and the woman was wearing some very provocative fishnets. Did you see this?
Did, yes. Very interesting choice for a 75-year-old woman.
And I'm not an ageist, so if you're an older lady and you want to go and wear fishnets, please do. What was interesting was she kind of was going for the goth look.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that to be very strange because if you'll recall, our promise to the listeners this year was that the entire world would have goth girlfriends by the end of 2021.
Forgot about that.
And Handless Joe has acquired his. And I'm starting to feel a little bit like Aaron at this point, wondering, Joe, where's mine? And so we're waiting, we're sitting, we're watching. Joe, you're continuing to disappoint us.
It's not in my kitchen. It's not in my bedroom.
Nope. Where is it? Beyond that, Joe fumbled recently. As far as we understand it, Biden administration is currently looking into the prospect of building the wall, Carr.
Dude, I saw this. This is just so incredible. Like, it's funny. Right. Like, it's like usually the like politicians wait at least a little, like the ceremonial amount of time before completely turning around and dunking on their own voters. But like, it's just been immediate.
Not even out of the 100 days.
Incredible, dude. Incredible.
We're just not even out of the 100 days, and not only have the amount of people held. Has gone up dramatically. I think something like 174%.
I saw something like 4x. I don't know. You know, who knows?
Yeah, you're right. I was thinking that might be a low ball, and I might be remembering a different statistic because this administration has already had a couple of statistics. And that happened. Then the wall. Then the mess ups. It's
truly
spiraling.
Incredible. It's spiraling. It is. It's The thing is that there's so little satisfaction because unlike, like if it were, say, Bernie Sanders or someone like that, where there's right. like a feverish online presence of supporters, there's not really a feverish online presence of Biden supporters. There was just holding my nose for Biden because I hate Trump, which is significantly less satisfying to dunk on than, outright Biden supporters. So I don't know. That's probably been the biggest source of my frustration, is because every time something like this happens, I can't dunk on anyone really. But nonetheless,
I don't know. I feel like I'm dunking constantly.
Well, right. I feel like I'm dunking constantly, but I'm not guarded. You know, I'm like, I'm dunking on a 6-foot goal.
You're in the empty stadium.
I'm just, and it's just for my own satisfaction. There's no cheers. There's no applause. There's no guard.
That's the world we may live in. That's the world we may live in. You may have to self-congratulate from now on.
Must dunk.
Yeah. But the left is not the only group that's been fumbling. Although we will, as I regale you with tales of what's gone on for the week, the left is not the only fumbler. A big right-wing figure has fumbled at least once. On April 3rd, Governor Mike Huckabee, in response to an incident going down in Georgia, where Delta has agreed that it would prefer to move its headquarters away from Georgia because of laws passed in Georgia regarding voting rights, which I looked into them. What's really funny is that Delta's considering to move to Colorado, a state which has almost exactly the same profile as Georgia has now instituted in its voting laws. Georgia actually had more liberal voting laws than Colorado, and they just tightened up a little. And the place that Delta's moving to is almost a carbon copy of the tightening that was done in Georgia. So, of course, it's all a big scam and a joke, but it always is. So Mike Huckabee decided that he was going to make a fool of himself because he didn't want to be out of the party, something that the Huckabees are very good at. On April 3rd, he writes, and this was at 10:18 a.m. He started his day this way.
Bright and early.
"I've decided to, in quotes, identify as Chinese. Coke will like me. Delta will agree with my, in quotes, values. And I'll probably get shoes from Nike and tickets to MLB games. Ain't America great?"
Wow.
Yeah, it was big. Oh.
Just the Matt McConaughey smoking a cigarette, looking at his phone meme.
You had folks on the left who responded. Charlotte Clymer. "Wow. You managed to be incredibly racist, transphobic, ignorant of voting rights legislation, and extremely corny all within a space of 280 characters. You must be proud. Individuals from the Christian side." I don't want to say right because I don't know if this woman is on the right, but she's clearly a Christian, and I know Charlotte Clymer is not. "On the Christian side," Beth Moore writes, "Mike, I've shared a meal with you at your beautiful table. I've heard you profess Christ as Lord. This is entirely antithetical to the gospel."
Oh, man. Just dunks coming in from all angles.
"I don't know who this guy is or what he believes, but Tommy Veder writes, remember when your sociopath son murdered a stray dog and then you fired the head of the Arkansas State Police because he wouldn't help you cover it up? Good stuff, Mike."
God. Oh, my God. Is that real? Is that real?
Yeah, that's real. Oh, I don't know if we'll look into it in a moment.
Oh, man. Just something else right there.
Kurt Eichenwald responded. If you'll remember Kurt Eichenwald,
I sure do.
A notorious consumer of tentacle pornography.
I remember because that story came out when I was killing time, I think on my 29th birthday, waiting to see Dispatch live in Austin. And I was at a bar and I was like, well, this will get me through the next 3 hours.
Yeah, and it probably did.
And it did.
Kurt Eichenwald writes, "You are such an awful, hateful person. After beginning my adulthood attending seminary, people like you and all your evil evangelicals are what drove me to finally abandon the church and simply rely on my own faith. Any institution that generates such hatred is an abomination." There's some really fantastic comments.
Yeah.
Frank Figliuzzi
There's a
right
made up a bird name right there.
This is disgraceful. So Mike Huckabee being blasted, ass blasted, frankly, from absolutely every single angle that could possibly be imagined. But it wasn't just the right wing that fumbled this week. Car Campen, I'm going to pass you a link in the Zencaster chat. This will be in the bio or the description, whatever you want to call it, of the episode. Please click that. The health community took a fumble recently as Dr. Amy Deal, PhD, associated with USA Today. Could it be a fake account? Maybe. However, 15,000 followers.
Yeah.
No blue check, though. Yeah. I'm pretty sure this is real, and if it's not, this is incredible.
Joined April 2007. That's 15,000 followers.
Oh, wow.
That's probably a real account.
This might be a real account, citing a USA Today page, which is actually, okay, and so here's the reason why I bring this up. Real account or not, which, again, I believe it is. Not every doctor's verified. She cites Fauci. Fauci happens to be saying precisely this. Here's the first fumble. We got to stop hugging, and we've got to stop shaking hands. Which is crazy, first of all. So we'll get to do that. We can't do that anymore. But, of course, listen. We respect the health community. We respect Dr. Fauci. We respect USA Today. We respect all these reliable sources for providing us with alternatives. So some of the alternatives that were suggested was the hand wave, right?
Yep.
So if you see a friend, wave a hand.
Simply wave.
Hand across the chest as if you're pledging allegiance to the person that you're looking at.
Very reasonable.
Which I think is potentially not something that you want to do to everybody. Because there's certain individuals who I think that connotes a, like you're a submission that you don't necessarily want to give to people.
Okay.
Let's avoid that. The foot shake. Now, this was an innovation, the foot shake.
This is quite something.
Basically,
right
it's a tactical move where you extend your right foot. And remember, this only works if both people participating, in the same way a handshake works, have to agree universally to use the same side. And that happens to be the right side because right dominance. I don't know.
Yeah.
But whatever the case may be. You extend your right leg outwards. Your friend extends their right leg outwards. And you touch toes. You touch toes. Because while it would be dirty, of course, to touch someone else's hands, there's nothing dirty about your shoes. So the next thing they suggested was the elbow bump. Now, this was the classic early pandemic tool, early on when we didn't quite know how the thing transferred. Some of us shoulder bumped, or not shoulder, elbow bumped. Some of us went, come here, Matt, get the elbow bump. Because we all admit that even though we're told by the Public Health Commission to cough into our elbow, if we simply touch elbows on the outside, not the inside where we coughed, no disease transfer will occur at all.
It's true.
So that's another option that you have. You next have the head bow, self-explanatory. Too much of a submissive act, in my opinion, Carr. I wouldn't be giving a head bow to very many people other than like a priest or
certainly not Rollo.
Like that. You know what I mean? Not Rollo. I would absolutely, you'd never see me bow my head to Rollo. And finally, so that we can be blasted by accusations of cultural appropriation at some point later on, we can use the namaste where you put your hands together in a prayer position and bow your head, a doubly submissive move, as well as probably not the right thing to do if you don't know what namaste means or the cultural history behind it. Perhaps do something else, like shake a hand. So those are our options, which were brought to us by the health community. Of course, this is not a cited document, but it could be a reliable one. In fact, I think they're all decent alternatives to handshakes in one way or another. Or maybe not. Are you liking it? Are you liking the new world? Are you feeling the?
It's very incredible. The thing with things like this is that this is the first iteration of about 475, only the most recent of which will ever be acceptable, and the other 474 will be Nazi dog whistles. So you will have to be up to date on what is the acceptable way to greet a fellow human being, lest you risk joining the Third Reich.
That's right. I think there was good news. Did you hear about that Spirit Airlines thing?
No.
Very
that they
overly
crashed
aggressive,
and quit as a company.
God, I love Spirit Airlines. We'll get to it. We'll get to it. Don't worry.
Okay.
One of the triumphant moments was a flight attendant decided to go way over her pay grade, and as a little child was eating yogurt, not wearing a mask, she was asked, along with her parents, to get off of the plane.
Oh, wow.
Everybody was directed to get off of the plane eventually by the pilot. Pilot got everybody off the plane. But in a victory moment, the flight attendant was dismissed and told that they had overstepped their boundaries. And everybody got back on the plane, including the people who were actually wearing masks the entire time. It was just the child eating yogurt who wasn't wearing a mask.
Jesus.
Where this incident happened, there's literally a video of it. You can look it up. I'm sure a lot of people already have. If you want to get really upset, you can certainly go and look that video up. That happened, but it was a slight victory for common sense. And that's good, right?
That is something else, man. The whole, golly, man. The whole thing. It's just a lot.
We're entering a really bizarre period.
Very strange.
You're entering
times.
A really, really bizarre period. And then, because like, the final. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
It's like the citizenry has been activated as like sleeper cell cops. Like, basically, now it's not just now it's not just cops you have to worry about. It's like just citizens.
Yeah. If anyone is under any impression that, like, I mean, everybody knows that the snitch exists.
Yes.
But the snitch has been normalized.
There was a reason, like not that long ago, a snitch was called a snitch, and that was a derogatory term. Snitch. And the snitch could exist to some degree, but they certainly weren't accepted. And, you know, they always risked just being dunked on by a quick, hey, shut the fuck up, snitch type snitch. Scenario.
Yeah, it doesn't. I mean, I'd still say it. Still say that because
oh,
it
yeah,
still
absolutely.
Hurts a little bit. Mm-hmm. And that, but it is funny, the snitch, the action has not changed. It is still the act of telling something about someone who's clearly trying to keep something either hidden or out of the way, telling an authority figure about that.
Yep.
Still snitching, still the same thing, but now it's not so bad because people are dying at an exorbitant rate, which is not true. So, who knows, man?
I don't.
Si se puadways.
That's all you can say. That's all you can say at a time like this.
Do you think you could learn fake Spanish easier than real Spanish? Because you nailed puadways.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, perhaps like previous exposure with real Spanish plus time where the data has degraded in my brain could equal an easier on-ramp to fake Spanish.
Right.
That's bro science.
We could go off of news for 1 second. I did want to clarify something for our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get back onto the news, the Ron DeSantis thing is something that I want to talk about because it's pretty interesting. Big scandal.
Yeah.
But before we get to that, I do want to summarize. We talked a lot about White Boy Summer, right? We're very excited for White Boy Summer. But just want to make sure everybody understands that there are rules to White Boy Summer. You can't just do whatever you want. Chet gave us rules. And so very briefly, for all the listeners interested in participating, I'm going to summarize. These are the commandments of White Boy Summer as given to us by Chet Hayes, Chet Hanks. No plaid shirts.
What?
Why? Why, he says? Because the bros can't be looking like a picnic table out here. No plaid shirts. No Vineyard Vines or Ralph Lauren. Just put on a black tee or a white tee. Keep it simple this summer.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, it's controversial to people, especially some people who get a little bit cold in the warmth where they have to wear the t-shirt and the flannel.
Yeah,
but that's what Chet said. That's what Chet said. So that's one of the rules. And so if we're going to have a white boy summer in Chet's way, that's what we have to do. I'm willing to try. I'm willing to give it a shot. I don't wear a lot of plaid anyway. I know some people, that probably offended some people. Anyway, more importantly, no Sperry topsiders.
All right, this can just end at this point.
No Sperry topsiders. No boat shoes.
I don't care to hear any more.
He's talking to you, Carr.
He's literally talking to me.
Talking to you, Carr. Get yourself some Vans.
I'm literally wearing a plaid flannel and topsiders right now.
Or some Jordans.
Oh, man.
Get yourself some of those. Okay, fine. This will be a thing that you can agree with, Carr. Rule three. No calling girls smoke shows.
Okay.
Don't call girls fine. Smoke shows. It's a played out term. You can't see a hot chick and call her smoke. That is over with. Come up with something new.
Okay.
All right? So don't be derivative.
He's applauding innovation. I'm back on track. Actually, you know, in the summer I don't wear a lot of plaid flannels and topsiders because down here in Texas it's just too damn hot. It's usually cutoffs and sandals. So I think I'm back.
Leather in the
yeah.
Okay. All right. And then finally, this might blow your whole shit up, or you might agree, but this is maybe one of the most controversial rules. There's a lot more, but this is one of the ones. Anything salmon colored, burn that shit. Anything salmon colored in your wardrobe, burn it. Don't ever wear it again. Okay? Throw that out. No salmons anywhere. You have
That's
any
fine.
Salmon clothing?
No.
Okay, all right. Okay.
No, I'm an earth tones boy.
This could blow you up, perhaps.
Oh, God.
No cargo shorts.
No, I don't wear cargo shorts.
Okay, good. All right. No cargo shorts. There was Bro Bible had recently said, why now is the perfect time for cargo shorts to make a comeback. Chet Hanks personally responded and said, this is the shit I'm talking about, guys. This is not white boy summer. So he's really against cargo shorts. Backwards hats are good. Dad hats are iffy. If you want to rock a dad hat, find a good barber and do the rest of the work. I agree.
Okay.
Respect personal space at parties, especially while drunk. A good rule, especially for Childeberg. Flip-flops are good,
yes.
Especially if they're Gucci. Rock them with some socks. Whatever. Some sweatpants. That's really pushing it. But,
yeah.
And he put this on the line. No rainbow flip-flops.
Wow.
That's
a pretty
Who wears rainbow flip-flops at night, in the day. Get a different thing on your foot. Stop talking around with your toes out.
Where are you at on flip-flops, Bird?
Me personally?
Yeah.
Is a flip-flop a sandal? Are those the same things? I'm not in Florida. I don't have an opinion on that.
Yeah.
I don't have an opinion on
That's all I wear, basically. Because
I'll tell you, it's
90 degrees or higher here from April through October.
Sure.
So I basically wear board shorts, flip-flops, and a cutoff.
I'll tell you what, I don't want to see your toes.
Okay.
Socks are preferable.
Mm.
But you can wear sandals. I don't care. I just, you know, toes being out, if I look at them, you know, and I'm a curious cat. Sometimes I'll look at someone's
You're gonna
toes
look
to
at
get
them.
A feel. I'm going to look at your gnarly pounders. They're gross.
Oh, no. My toes look great. My feet look great.
This is a bold statement.
Yeah.
Birkenstocks are banned, not kosher.
Oh, wow. So what is he, all right. So what is he, you know, and I don't own Birkenstocks or rainbows, but that's significant.
You're getting upset.
This is a significant portion of the sandal market. I mean, what is he actually recommending?
Yeah, he's saying you better have some hot feet this summer, I think.
Yeah.
I think that's what he's saying.
Okay.
This one, I think you might appreciate this. No more Bush Light or Natty Ice.
Wow. I used to, dude, oh man, you want to hear a story about Natty Ice?
yes, I do.
me and my buddy Joe, this was back in college. This is like right when we turned 21. We were staying in college over the summer and the town just empties out. And so it was basically me and my buddy Joe there, not in the entire town, but like out of our friend group. And we were going to watch a movie that night. It was like a Tuesday, you know, random Tuesday night or something like that. And we were like, well, we should probably be drinking a lot of beers for this. And we go over to the Food Lion, like right next to the apartments, and we go in there. Like, we had this like revelation. We're like, holy shit, Natty Ice is the same price as Natty Light. Can you believe this? And now imagine, we're very poor at this point. We're broke. So like coming up with a discovery that you can basically buy, in our minds, two times the amount of beer for the same price is like revolutionary. So we buy the case. It was like $10 for a case of Natty Ice back then. Take it back and start drinking it like we would drink Natty Light, which you can crush 4 million Natty Lights before you get drunk because there's no alcohol in it. And we both just black out watching TV. We don't remember. like he woke up in his bed. Our doors were open. He lived across the hall. I think our doors were open. It was a disaster. I was so hungover. We just drank the standard amount of Natty Light, which is to split a case, and blacked out. So
that's pretty great.
Yeah.
No Natty Ice now, though. It's gone. It's over. You have your memories. You'll always have your memories with it. You know?
Some of them, yeah.
Novelty but Bush sunglasses.
Light. Listen, but wait, what sunglasses?
that was a clash of the minds right there.
what sunglasses?
Novelty sunglasses are banned.
Oh, wow. Banned. Okay.
Novelty sunglasses are banned. Novelty sunglasses, for all the listeners, basically anything with a stupid print on the side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't like those.
Yeah. Bush Light?
Bush Light, I look, man, I like Bush Light. Bush Light and you know what? The old copper tops.
You don't have
tops.
To drink it, though.
Bush Heavy, the old copper tops, man.
Bush Heavy. Good.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't say Bush Heavy. He's probably all right with Bush Heavy. He recommends tops, that instead of Bush, get a name brand like Bud Light or, and this is where it gets really weird, get a bottle of Stoli or, and this is where it gets even weirder, Svedka. Get a fucking Svedka, he says. At least those little plastic-ass, disgusting, off-brand vodkas and shit. They should use that to clean engines with. Not fucking drinking that. That's what he said. So spend the extra dollar, he says. And I agree. Time preference. Demonstrating a good sense of time preference. Spending more money today for better time right now. And I can't think of what a better explanation of time preference is than that.
It's perfect.
Here we go. This is going to win a lot of people over because Chet, you would think, would be the kind of guy who would say something against it. But country music is most definitely White Boy Summer.
Okay. All right. Wow.
Yeah.
That's
no ill will towards anyone. In parentheses, straight vibing. There you go.
All right. Yeah, I dig it. That's sweet.
Like many rule sets, Chet has presented us with partially a challenge, things we don't like, and partially a lot of benefits and things we do like. A social contract that I could really get behind, frankly, and might, in fact, sign myself up for this White Boy Summer. So I hope everybody else does, too. But now you know the rules. If I see any salmon, you're getting blasted on the timeline. Or Childeberg. If I see any salmon at Childeberg, I'm going to clap my hands together and go, woo! And that's going to mean you're wearing salmon and you're going to be embarrassed because everybody will know that you're breaking the White Boy Summer rules.
For sure.
Fair enough, Carl? Is that good?
Sounds pretty great to me, man. Dude, I'm just excited for summer. I'm excited for summer to be
me
here.
Too.
What's the summer situation looking like on your end? I mean, are you guys in summer yet up there?
Spring is probably today. Probably the first day of spring. Looking around, it's really nice out, and it seems like the kind of nice that lasts. So probably we're there. Probably we're there. Oh, a brief mention. Legal weed, New York. We did it, people.
Oh, yeah. You guys legalized weed. That's amazing.
Yeah, we did. Recreationally, too.
Cool.
So, ifs, ands, or buts. The only thing that's kind of annoying is, but we all expected this, is that because they got to roll out a licensure program, it's going to take at least a year for that to happen, and therefore a year on top of that for stores to start to roll in.
Yep.
So we're talking about probably early 2022 when we get some dispensaries and things like that. Maybe.
Well, did you guys have medical before that?
Well, yeah, but it wasn't like, you know, New Jersey's medical.
Okay.
Where
yep.
you could be like, man, I'm too awake. I need to be sleeping. And they go,
I'm really high. Well, do you have anything that would fix that? Oh yes, more weed.
yes. I'm really a ta. You know, I just need a little more. So they, you know, it's hard to get that. Or you could use it to say you had glaucoma, which I still don't understand. That to me, saying you have glaucoma and someone giving you weed for glaucoma is mystical. I don't understand
pretty,
the science
pretty wild
behind
loophole.
That or where. Yeah, because I knew someone who had a card because of glaucoma, and It was just weird. I don't understand how they... But anyway, now we have...
It's like the existence of the Cayman Islands, like, to the financial world. It's like, oh, I have a bank in the Cayman Islands. Everybody's like, oh, well, okay, I know what...
All right. Know what you're doing with that.
Yeah, of course. Incredible. Like, how many people with glaucoma are there, A, and B, how many are actually treating it with weed?
Well, I was going to say, I recommend if you have glaucoma and you didn't know this loophole, and you still live in a state where you have to get a license for it, please go ahead. Do that. Do what you got to do. So, like weed. Get that out of the way. Let's go to the annoying part of the day. I'm reading Daily Wire articles. I've really chosen some interesting sources today, Carr, and I'll be upfront and admit it. CBS's 60 Minutes, this is written by Ryan Saavedra, who I like a lot, actually, deceptively edited an exchange that reporter Sharon Alfonsi had with Florida Governor Ron DeSantis 2 weeks ago about the way the Sunshine State had rolled out its vaccination program. In the clip, Alfonsi, who again is the Florida the reporter in Florida, suggests that Publix, the largest grocery store chain in Florida and a great place, had engaged in a pay-to-play scheme with DeSantis, where they donated money to his campaign in exchange for him rewarding them with a contract for the grocery store to host vaccinations. CBS edited the interaction, of course, between DeSantis and Alfonsi, when she showed up to a press conference a few weeks ago and repeatedly confronted the governor. And the network cut out a lengthy portion of DeSantis' response in which he explains what happened and how decisions were made. So this is the reading. This is Sharon Alfonsi. Publix, as you know, donated $100,000 to your campaign, and then you rewarded them with exclusive rights to distribute the vaccination in Palm Beach. Ron DeSantis interrupts and says, first of all, that what you're saying is wrong. That's, she interrupts again and says, how is that not pay to play? Ron DeSantis responds, that's a fake narrative. Now, everything you're about to hear was cut out. So first of all, when we did, the first pharmacies that we had it at were CVS and Walgreens, and they had long-term care missions. So they were going to get long-term care facilities. They got the vaccine in the middle of December, and they started going to long-term care facilities in the third week of December, as they do with LTCs. So that was their mission. That was very important, and we trusted them to do that. As we got into January, we wanted to expand the distribution points. So yes, you had the counties, you had some drive-through sites, you had hospitals that were doing it, but we wanted to get to more communities. So we reached out to other retail pharmacies. Publix, Walmart, obviously CVS and Walgreens had already had to finish their mission. And we said, we're going to use you as soon as they're done with that. For Publix, they were the first one to raise their hand, said they were ready to go. And you know what? We did it on a trial basis. I had three counties. I actually showed up that weekend and talked to centers across four different Publix. How was their experience? Was it good? Did they go along with this way? And it was 100% positive. So we expanded it. And then folks liked it. And I can tell you, you're looking at a place like Palm Beach County, they were kind of struggling at first in terms of their numbers. That was all cut out. Now, back in. This is what they put on the segment. I went, I met with the county governor, I met with the administrator, I met with all the folks at Palm Beach County, and I said, here's some of the options. We could do more drive-through sites. We can give it to more hospitals. We could do the Publix. And then it was cut again. We can do this. They calculated that 90% of seniors live within a mile and a half of Publix. So they edited all this out. Now, finally, they put back in. And they said, we think it would be easiest for our residents. Everything else you're going to hear is cut out further. So we did that. And what ended up happening was you had 65 Publix in Palm Beach. Palm Beach is one of the biggest counties with most elderly counties. We've done almost 75% of seniors in Palm Beach, and the reason is because you have strong retail footprint. That was all cut out. So they air this segment where they basically, this is the segment that they heard. Obviously, there's a little bit of sparring that comes after what I wrote, but that was the meat. Publix, as you know, donated $100,000 to your campaign, and then you rewarded them with exclusive rights to distribute the vaccination in Palm Beach. No, so first of all, that's wrong. What you're saying is how is that not pay to play? Ron DeSantis goes, that's a fake narrative. I met with the county mayor. I met with the administrator. I met with all the folks in Palm Beach. They said, here's some of the options. Do more drive-thrus, hospitals, Publix. That was the segment.
Just, yeah, I mean.
That was the segment. Yeah. So they are being righteously slammed. I think they threatened to sue for misrepresentation.
Who's they? DeSantis? Team?
Yeah, DeSantis' office. Yeah. I think they threatened to sue. I'm not sure they are suing.
The chop jobs that these guys are getting away with, not just DeSantis, but just the chop jobs they get away with are so egregious. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's really bad. It's wild. And of course, contrary to of course, there are actually some mainstream news networks other than Fox are reporting this in favor of DeSantis. Like, this was really shitty for 60 Minutes to edit that segment like that. Wow. It's like, yeah, really, it was kind of shitty. Thanks for agreeing this time.
Crazy. It's
wild. Especially considering he actually cites what seems to be a relatively, I can tell you, far more effective than what New York is doing as far as vaccination rollout.
Mm-hmm.
It seems the numbers he gave, he said 75% there. But I could tell you, not even New York City is 75% or anywhere near that. And you can't get the vaccine at a CVS here.
Yeah, I mean, by
as far as
I
know,
I'm not a fan of politicians, politics, government, et cetera, all of that precludes the statement. But by any metric whereby you are a normie and you believe in the effectiveness and, service, the service that government is ostensibly providing, I don't think there's a whole lot of ways that you could construe New York as being anywhere near as responsive to its citizens as Florida. Yeah. Like,
I'm not saying that New York was being compared here. All I'm saying is that New York is the bastion of the way these people think. Why?
Right,
is
exactly. That's right. Yeah. Same reason that I would pick it, New York or California or New Jersey or Massachusetts. You know, one of these, the quote unquote coastal elite cities.
Is New Jersey number three because you have history there? You hate it like you hate the other states?
Yeah, perhaps. Yeah. it's crazy. Like, Florida has basically done that. Florida has, outside of just ignoring it altogether, which I think would have been the best government response, they've basically done the best of any state. They axed all of the limitations like 8 months ago, got the vaccine out ASAP. They basically, what they did is they had an eye on the prize of getting people back to work and back life back to normal, and they were doing things. It appeared, now of course there's gonna be politics and like it's still politics, but that was their goal. The goal wasn't anything else. Like, it looks like they were acting in a way that was their goal, where everything that was informing all of their other decisions. And nobody else was doing that. You could say basically Texas has been just like the puppy dog following behind Ron DeSantis. Anytime he does anything, we do it like a month later.
Yeah, yeah. Is it Greg Abbott, right?
He's just a coward. He's like a coward. Yeah. I mean, that's, you know. But, you know, at the end of the day, as long as it gets done, it's better than it not getting done. I mean, for instance, we did the ban on the vaccine passports for as much as you can trust any executive order or government itself. I mean, that's a net on net, in my opinion, a more good thing than a bad thing. So that's cool. But yeah, I mean, it's an interesting thing. I mean, most of these big hated Southern states just drastically outperformed the elite states, you know, in basically every metric, and are still just getting chop jobbed and chided and cast. You know, we had that. I went to the opening day. I just tailgated the opening day for the Texas Rangers, I didn't see anyone wearing a mask. I didn't actually go to the game, but all my buddies did, and they were like, dude, the place was packed. It was wall to wall, and nobody was wearing a mask. And I was like, damn, that's amazing. And nobody cares. Nobody cares anymore.
Yeah.
It's great.
Right. Man, there's one final thing that I want to pull up for you, and I'll have to read it to you, Carr, but we got a second here to let people out. We are talking about the Vax Pass. The final fumble, and I'll have to edit some of this out, but the final fumble that we're going to talk about today, it'll be what I could think of nothing other than a brilliant quote that is left to us by the objectivist philosopher, who a lot of people seem to confuse objectivists with libertarians. Here's why not. You'll hear him say it. I got to find it on Twitter, though. Yaron Brook, some sort of major objectivist, has some great things to say about why the vaccine pass will actually decrease state power.
Very good.
Let me pull that up.
I just don't have a whole lot of experience with objectivists, but every single one I have is unpleasant. That's my my entire thinking about objectivism.
I want to minimize the statism. And I think, I actually think, that a vaccine card, or whatever you want to call it, would actually minimize the statism in this case. Because it would increase our ability to travel in a world that won't let us.
That's the thing. That's the thing with objectivists, man. It's
yeah. The thing is, they think they're doing an objective science, and really, they're too stupid to go, wow, what I see isn't what other people see.
Right. Yeah. They like flip flop between. I'm trying to think, like, cause and effect.
To be very fair, a couple of objectivists have commented under this, as well as to personally, okay. And have been like, this is ridiculous. This doesn't make any sense, what he's saying right now. Definitely has nothing to do with objectivism. It has everything to do with his own stupid opinions and fear. I believe that more, I guess, I'm willing to. But it's a real hell of a quote, isn't it?
Or objectivists?
Decrease the statism.
Yeah, that's
because
crazy.
It'll allow us to move around in a world where we can't.
Who's stopping us from moving around? You,
dude. I think Foucault wrote a whole book about that urge. There's a whole book about how you can't just go, well, take what they give me. Otherwise, you're basically in prison. That was the summary of the book. Really wild. Really incredible stuff. So yeah, FaxPass. It'll increase our freedom.
I was thinking that actually 5 years ago that thought occurred to me. Mm-hmm. I just said, you know what? Mm-hmm. Today, if we had a VaxPass for just any disease, that would increase my freedom.
I've always thought that when people look at me and go, you know that they've had vaccine passes forever, basically, right? And you can't basically get into Europe without a vaccine pass. I've always thought to myself, wow, what a reasonable thing to say. It was very reasonable to do that then, too. And it really increased our freedom at that point, too. Mm-hmm. And it totally wasn't just an unnecessary restriction.
Right.
I usually think that's very reasonable. And so,
very reasonable. And freedom-oriented.
And so what we're doing is we're going to have a Childeberg pass. You have to sign up and you have to pay. because that would increase your freedom to get to Childeberg, of course, right? It would be a pass that if you don't have it, you can't go. That increases your.
Well, you would be. I'm sorry. You would be free not to go. I think is what you meant.
That's absolutely right. I'm doing what he's doing. You'd be free not to go, and if you were to go, people there would have more of a problem with it.
Mm-hmm. Freely.
Very interesting the way that freely, voluntarily. Very interesting the way that human interaction works.
Christ almighty.
How many hands are on the wheel? No. No.
Two. Two.
Wait, I have a plug and a thank you that I have to do, Carr. Before that, though, have you got any final words? Have you got anything you want to bring up? Are you dumbfounded? How are you feeling about today's episode? By the way, everybody, Aaron's doing great. Aaron's okay. He's on PTO. We didn't kick him off yet. If anyone was curious why Aaron's hasn't been here for the past,
you will know when we kick him off, and we will kick him off. Yeah. But it is now is not that time.
We will record it. No, yeah. But he's on PTO. So he has a real job.
Mm-hmm. I'm feeling good about the episode. I'm feeling good about the. You know, I'm just getting really, really excited for summer and for a lot of stuff that we've got coming up in Childeberg. And I thought in March that when we got to April, it was going to be like. It would feel like we're there. And then I'm realizing that I just don't really have a whole lot on the calendar for April, both to do with the podcast and with like work and stuff like that. And I'm realizing that really the on-ramp into summer is May. And so now I'm just in this, I'm kind of in a lull, which I don't mind. It's pretty pleasant, but I'm ready to kick off White Boy Summer, dude.
Me too. I'm ready too. And now with the rules, we're very equipped to do that.
Yeah. So I got to get some.
And also, by the way, we're free not to have a white boy summer.
Well,
if
we're
we decide
also
not to follow the rules.
Right. And there would be more freedom if we were freely restricted to not engage in white boy summer.
That's right. If we only ever had to participate in white boy summer and could never wear salmon shorts ever again for any reason, our freedom would actually increase.
Because we would be free no longer to wear those shorts.
That's right. And that's right.
Mm-hmm. What's your...
tiny moose in the background.
The tiniest of...
like with a little golf window, like a little window yeah, noise,
jamming his head through the window, just and then with a little golf clap at the end.
Yeah, that's where we're at.
What's your thank you and
plug,
your note?
Of course. My plug, two plugs, I guess. Technically, one leads into the other. I was on the Rollo and Slappy. I was on the Slappy and Rollo show. Go check that out. And
or don't
the reason why or don't you're free not to.
You're free not to check that
dude,
out.
Dude, that's that. We got to work on a t-shirt where it says something absurd, and then at the bottom it says, or you're free not to.
Yeah.
I don't know what yet. Something like,
give your baby cocaine, or you're free not to.
Yeah, that's exactly what we want people making libertarians believe. It is. So yeah, give your baby, somebody throw that on a t-shirt.
Throw it on a design
and we'll put it up on the store, right?
You know what we should do? I don't know if we should put it up on the store if we do this, but we should do it like a big libertarian party logo. And like, we'll like just make the extreme messaging that we want out of it. Give your baby cocaine or in very small print or you're fine not, or you're free not to vote LP or something.
Yes, yes. Somebody's already creating it right now. Oh, just make shit. That and make sure we see it and we're going to do something with it. I don't know what. Maybe we'll figure out something
give
to do with
your
it.
Baby
someone
cocaine.
Will host it. Kane, or you're free not to.
And the or you're free not to is in of a shade just almost identical to the background shade of the shirt.
Yes,
so you just barely see it.
You could never see it unless you're in sunlight.
Oh, God, man. That's good. All right,
there you go. Yeah, that's good. There's your design. Throw that up there. So the reason why I was on talking to the Slappy and Rollo experience was because I was on Pete's show talking about Hoppe. Mm-hmm. So go check that out. That is the final part of the Marxism series, final part of the philosophy series I'm doing with Pete for a long time. So get your fill in while you can.
I'm very much looking forward to listening to that. I haven't listened to it yet, and I'm looking because of the some of the stuff that you was. Yeah, well, you were texting me some of it, and which I didn't know because I'm not a big. I don't dislike Hoppe. I just I only.
I tell you what, I like him a lot more after doing that research.
He seems like a rat.
I used to be kind of adamantly anti Hoppe, but a lot of the things, even though I think a lot of the premises are kind of weird, it doesn't matter to me. It makes a lot of sense,
mm-hmm.
Which is always nice.
Yeah,
always nice. And then I want to give a brief. Thank you, and I'm sending the email in coordination with this thank you, although I don't think Scott Horton listens to this show regularly. I do want to give a thank you to Scott because he sent me a copy of his book Enough Already in the mail. He gave me a nice signatured copy, very cool. I'm reading it now. Fantastic book, heartbreaker. So I just want to say thank you, Scott.
I would like to, before we move on, I would like to echo that as well.
Did you get your copy?
I did. He actually texted. I think he texted me for your address, which I think I doxed to him because I assumed it was okay. Oh, I don't, or cool. Maybe I didn't. Yeah. Do I even have your address? I don't even.
Well, he emailed me and I sent it to him, but I don't.
Oh, I gave him your email address. So. Yeah, I gave him your email because I don't think I have your address.
Oh, cool.
But anyway,
yeah. Yep. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you, Scott. Yeah, looking forward to that read. I just cracked into it.
Scott, of course, after you're finished, recording the rules for White Boy Summer so that you know how to properly behave during this period of time, we'll read the book and it's good. We can exchange information, Scott.
Yes. Yes.
I like that. Good.
Yeah.
Scott has never worn salmon colored shorts.
Probably not.
I would actually put money on that. On that one little singularity within the universe is that man has never worn salmon shorts.
I'd agree. And with that. I think we can say so long, see you later to all the listeners, and until next week, we can keep two hands on the wheel.
And no hands on your salmon shorts. Squaw!